Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Got a question, very important question, so listen up. Is Google, the search engine, Google, is it male or female? What is it?
I plead the fifth.
You're a smart man. Come on.
I have to be female.
It's female. Do you know why? Has to be female. Because no matter what you ask it, it always offers a ton of suggestions. I'm just reading this. That's not mine, so. A woman gets on board a bus. The driver says, she has a little baby with him. The driver says, "Woman, that is the ugliest baby I've ever seen in my entire life." She goes all the way to the back of the bus, sits down. She's fuming. She tells the woman next to her that the driver has just insulted her. And the woman says, "Will you go up there and tell him off, and I'll hold your monkey for you while you go do it." Pretty ugly baby. All right, let's get right into some word tonight. I'm going to start a new series on Wednesday nights called Finding God's Will for Your Life. Finding God's Will for Your Life. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace, not of evil, to give you a future and to give you hope." God's plans for you are good. They're not bad. To give you a future, to give you a hope. Now, God was speaking through the prophet Jeremiah to Israel, his people. So this is when he spoke this, he was speaking to Israel. Let me ask you a question. Can we claim this is also true for us individually? Majority says yes. Okay. Psalm 139, verse 16 and 17. Speaking of the Lord, it says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. Before our body was formed, all the days that we were predetermined by God that we were going to live were already determined. And he says they were written in a book. Is that just poetic language or is that real? Wow. How precious are your thoughts to me? So God saw us before we were born. Amen. He wove into our DNA talents, abilities, purposes. In fact, he had already written them down in his plans for us before we were born. That just absolutely boggles my mind. I have no comprehension of that, except just believing it. God knew you'd be singing these songs up here tonight, David. He gave you the ability, gave you the voice. He knew that you would learn to play the guitar. And so it's amazing. We say God is sovereign, and sometimes we need to really clarify what we mean by that. God is sovereign. Yes, he is. In the sense of supreme power. He has all power. Amen? But he's not sovereign in the sense that nothing can happen without his permission. In other words, God does not control our lives. If we want to jump off a building, we can jump off a building. We want to walk out in front of a car, we can do those things. Everything that happens in your life is not necessarily God's will. Amen. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we know it's God's will that no one's going to perish, but some are going to perish. We know it's God's will for everyone to be saved, but not everybody gets saved. So we have a choice in the matter. God has a will and he has a plan for us, but not everyone's going to find his will and not everyone's going to follow his will, even Christians. That's important to understand. I started reading this morning the book of Judges. And the book of Judges has a theme that runs consistently through it. You'll see this phrase. It pops up ever so often. It says this: everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And of course, that brought chaos. That's the theme. And even though God, he warns his people, he urges his people, he speaks to his people through prophets and so forth, in the book of Judges, they rebel against God. They choose to go against God's plan, against God's will, and go their own way in spite of his direction. And then God allowed for other stronger nations or other people to come and attack God's people. And then God's people would cry out to God for deliverance. Oh, God, forgive us. Oh, God, help us. And then God would raise up a deliverer. And that's the pattern all through the book of Judges. And it all is because everyone did what was right in their own eyes. God created everything for a purpose. Everything and everyone. Even though if you were not expected by your parents as a child, God expected you. There's no such thing as an illegitimate child or illegitimate parent sometimes, but every child has a purpose. Every person born has a purpose. God knew it. You are not a mistake. You're not an accident. We should all be seeking what God's purpose is for us being here, breathing his air and on his planet in this wonderful nation. There are some things that we already know are God's will for us. For example, we already know from the Word of God, Romans 12, God wants us to dedicate our bodies to him. And if we don't dedicate our bodies to him, but we dedicate him to ourselves, we'll just do what we want and do what's right in our own eyes and destroy ourselves. He wants us to dedicate our bodies as a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1. He wants us to renew our minds with his word, Romans 12, 2. He wants us to share the gospel with people. We know these things. It's clear. Share the gospel with the world. He wants us to seek first God's kingdom, God's values, God's government, God's rule. He wants us to live with God's peace ruling in our hearts. And many other things are clear. He wants us to walk in forgiveness. He wants us to walk in love. We know those things. But those are kind of general. God has more specific plans for our life. Why were you born a man or a woman? It wasn't just, you know, throwing up the dice of the DNA and see where it falls. There's a reason. You were born at a certain time in history. You weren't born in the 1600s. You weren't born in the time of Jesus. You're born in this time. There's a specific reason. You were born in a certain nation. You know, this past week we were fortunate to minister, and Pam ministered, and I ministered to the Haitians. And one of the things we told them is that, you know, we're not any better than you because we come from America. You're not any less from us because you're in a poor country. God purposely had you born here. He had purposely had us born because he has plans that are really good. So he had you born in a certain nation. You have certain gifts and abilities to accomplish what he wants, has planned for your life. God's plan, though, is revealed in steps and stages. Scripture says, first the blade, then the stalk, then the full head of seed. It's a process of getting the harvest. There's a process. God's plan is revealed in steps and stages. If God revealed everything to us that's going to happen into our life all at one time, it'd be too much. We couldn't comprehend it. It'd overwhelm us. Over a period of time, we discover more details. When we first went to Bible college, it was not our intent to be a pastor of a church. We didn't see that. That wasn't on the radar. That wasn't in the plans. It wasn't anything. Didn't think anything about that. We were going to Bible college because it was accredited at that time when we first started. We're going so we can go back in the military, maybe a chaplain. Possibly. I thought about that. And then later on, in about my second year, I was thinking, well, maybe I'll get a degree in counseling. Thank God I didn't do that. And then after 2 years, we pastored a little small Baptist church in Georgia. Nobody knows where this is. Bluffton, Georgia. Raise your hand if you know where it is. Mom, you don't count. John, you know where Bluffton, Georgia is? And they ordained me, and, all that process. And we were there for probably about 2 years or something like that, you know. Little church of about 40, 45 people. All of them family. So if you made one of them mad, every one of them were mad at you. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and when the peanut harvest came in, nobody was in church. They were out harvesting peanuts. And then after that, we went to become youth ministers, full-time youth ministers for 2.5 years. We never planned on being youth ministers. That's a tough job. We didn't plan on being youth ministers, but it was fun. But that was part of God's plans for us for 2.5 years. And after that, then we went and pastored a little church way out in the North Lake County on the St. John's River out in the Ocala Forest in Astor for 6.5 years. And we thought that was the end of the world. But it was a good time. It was a great experience. And then from there, we came back over to this area into Fruitland Park, and we were there in a tough situation, a tough church, for 10 years. And then we've been at Grace Tabernacle now for 15 years. And so, you know, we were Baptists for 20 years. You didn't hear it, Brother Joe. He went, Boy, that's Well, we were Baptists, but we always, for the most part of that 20 years, we kind of knew that we weren't Baptists, but we felt like this is where we landed. It's where God planted us, and we didn't know anything else, but we were learning there was a lot more to the Lord and, you know, gifts of the Spirit and all that kind of stuff. We started to, you know, learn, and then we kind of realized over a period of time that, you know, we weren't Baptist, but we didn't know what we were. We were Christian, but we didn't know, you know, why we were in a Baptist church, but that was God's assignment for us. And all this time, we were in the Baptist church for 20 years and somewhat frustrated with that. Were we out of God's will because we were in the Baptist church? I don't think so. I think it was training for our next step. So what I'm trying to tell you is that God's will for your life unfolds like a flower, a little bit here, a little bit there. First the blade, you know, then the stalk, and then the head. So God's will, learning God's will takes time. There are steps and there are stages that we learn what His perfect will is. And we should always be asking, God, I want to know what your next step for me is. I want to know what your will is for me. And talents and abilities are not always the best indicator of God's will for your life. When I was just a young teenager and then I'd won that little contest in high school and doing some impersonations and all that kind of stuff. And I started getting all that attention and liked it. And I thought, well, I think I'll just go into acting. I'll become an actor or an entertainer or something like that, you know. And because I liked that feedback that I was getting from a few folks that said, hey, you're pretty good. And I start, you know, the danger is you start believing your own press reports. You start believing that you're better than you really are. And that would have been a total disaster, and I would have made a tremendous mess of my life, and I don't think I'd ever made it, to be honest with you. But what I'm trying to say to you, this is because talents and abilities, just because you have a talent or an ability, doesn't necessarily mean that God's will for you is to move in that direction. See, in the natural, we think that way. If you play baseball real good, then yeah, you know, you get accepted by a team. Then maybe it's God's will for you to be a baseball player. Maybe it's not God's will for you to be a baseball player. Just because you can play baseball well doesn't mean that it's necessarily God's will for your life. Are you with me? Okay. See, you may have talents and abilities that are undiscovered yet. They're undeveloped. You may not know what your talents and abilities are. And, you know, for example, if you think, you know, just because you're able to stand up and speak in front of people that you ought to be a preacher, that's not really enough for you to say, you know, yeah, that's the direction for God's will for your life. A personality test. Anybody ever taken personality tests or these tests that you can take in school to help you maybe figure out your personality, your aptitude, and maybe what you should do with your skill, with your life. Anybody ever done that before? Okay. Personality tests cannot tell you what God's plan is for your life. Okay. It's only a snapshot of when you take that test at that particular moment. It's only a snapshot of where you are that particular moment. We change through the years. I took one particular personality test with occupations that you might be good in and so forth, and my highest score was a podiatrist. I don't want to mess with anybody's feet. I wouldn't want to go to all that school to be a foot doctor, and I'm not degrading that as a great profession if you're called to it, but I'm not called to be a podiatrist. So, but that personality to say, hey, you'd be successful as a podiatrist, you know. So but I'm pointing out to you that, you know, we change through the years, you know. Your achievements in life are not necessarily revealing God's plan for your life. Your achievements, you know. God is always calling us to something that's beyond our own ability to achieve it in our own natural strength. That's what's important to understand. God doesn't just call you to do something that you're just a natural shoe in. It's just perfect. He calls you to something that's beyond your ability, where you'll have to depend upon Him, rely upon Him. Paul said this of himself. He said in Galatians 1:15, Paul said, "It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace." I want to point out something here that the Apostle Paul recognized. The Apostle Paul recognized early in his life that God had a purpose for him to be a representative of God. And so at an early age, this is prior to his conversion, at an early age, he recognized that God had a purpose for him to be a representative of God. So he went into some serious training. He studied under a man who was probably the greatest Jewish scholar at that time that anybody could learn from, named Gamaliel. And for 20 to 30 years, he learned about legalism. And he was a legalistic Jew. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. And he was a legalistic Jew, and he learned all the ways. He learned the law. He memorized and everything. And then he had this encounter with God on the Damascus Road. And God revealed Himself to him. And about the first thing He said to him, He says, Saul was his name before he was changed. He says, Saul, you've got this all wrong. You spent 20, 30 years of your life in training, but I'm here to tell you, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong.
You're doing it wrong. And so after his encounter with Jesus, he completely reversed the direction of his life. The very people he was persecuting was now his brothers and sisters. A complete change. You know, you don't have to be a preacher to have a God-given purpose for your life. Sometimes people sitting in church think, well, I wish God had called me. I wish I was in the ministry. I wish God would, you know, make me a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or do something so I could have his purpose for my life. No, you don't have to be a preacher. God calls more people who are not in ministry than he does people who are in full-time ministry to do what they're doing. He does. He calls some people to be businessmen. He calls some people to be bivocational. He calls some people to work in restaurants. He calls some people to be skilled and work well with their hands and have the mechanical knowledge. They can fix things. He calls some people to these various tasks. I mean, when the temple was being constructed and so forth, God purposely called certain people that were metalsmiths and people that were good at embroidery and people that were good at putting, and everybody had a call upon their life to do a certain thing. You see, you can reach people that I can't reach. There will be people who will talk to you who won't even talk to me. They won't come to church to hear me preach, but they'll talk to you. And you are where you are, and you're to seek God's will for your life and his calling for your life because it's all about people. We're here to reach people. That's our purpose, our primary purpose. And it's why we live in the neighborhoods we live in. It's why we work at the place we work at and all of that. And so the primary universal will for everyone is for everyone to personally know Jesus Christ. That's it. I mean, that's the primary universal will. We want everybody, God wants everybody to know Jesus. And I don't mean just to know him mentally. The Bible says demons know about God. They know he's real. It's not just a mental acknowledgement. And that's what I find in America sometimes. You've really got to get past the facade of what people tell you when they say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. And you got to listen to them and maybe ask some more inquisitive questions in the right way to find out if they have a born-again relationship with Jesus. Listen, I've talked to ministers, ordained ministers, and Catholic priests, and I'm not picking on Catholics or any particular denomination, but I remember talking to Catholic priests and who had spent much more education than I'll ever have as far as formal education, and very intelligent people, and very intelligent in theology, and taught theology in Catholic universities, and talk to them, and I'd say, have you ever had a born-again experience, receiving Jesus as you, and they would look at me and say, well, no. And I mean, I was shocked. I was dumbfounded. You mean you go to that many years of studying theology and miss the whole point? You'd read the Bible and study the Bible and miss the whole point. Well, the Apostle Paul did. So it's possible that the people who are talking the talk that sounds like Christian talk, and you might assume that they are Christians by their talk, or you might assume they're Christians because they go to some church somewhere every Sunday. You might assume they're Christians, but in reality, you don't know that until you find out and ask that key question. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've been born again, received the Holy Spirit? Because that's God's universal will for everybody. He doesn't want anybody to perish. And so God's plans for us are to know God personally and then commit to his lordship. That he's the Lord of my life. That I commit my life to seeking and following, finding God's will for my life, and following God's will for my life, and then fulfilling God's will for my life. And it happens moment by moment, moment by moment. I like where what the Apostle Paul said here in this scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1:12, and look at this. Here's a very important little note, a key here. He says, say it with me, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that. So in finding God's will, here's one little key note here to notice tonight. In finding God's will, you have to commit something. You have to commit something in finding God's will. Or are you going to kind of go through life singing, Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. See, you're going to have to make a commitment of some kind to seek and find God's will for your life. There's no other way around it. And here, the Apostle Paul is saying that. He's saying that, you know, if I'm going to seek God's will for my life, I believe that he has a plan for my life, then I'm going to have to commit something of myself in order for that to be discovered and established in my own life. Are you with me? So, I'm going to have a prayer here. I'm going to show it to you up on the screen. And I want you to take some time to read it before we pray it. Okay, have you read it? Okay, if you read it, go ahead and please stand. Are you willing to make the commitment to pray this prayer, put this in the Lord's hands, and believe that he's going to show you your next step? Your next step in following and finding God's will for your life may be as simple as this week is go over there and witness to that person. Go over there and invite that person to your church. Go over and talk to that person. Go over and spend some time with that neighbor. It could be just as simple as that. And as God's will unfolds for your life, it's not always the great big picture. It starts out with the little things. And if you're faithful with the little things, God will reveal more. That's how it happens, okay? So let's say it out together as a prayer to God. Father God, I thank you that you have detailed plans for my life. I don't want to do things on my own anymore. I want to know your will and what you created me for. I understand discovering your will is a process. I am making a commitment to begin to seek and continue to seek your will until I find and fulfill it. I'm not going to be content living my life for myself. I humble myself and I ask you to give me supernatural revelation. I believe that right now that process has begun. You are going to keep that which I commit to you. Thank you in advance for revealing your will to me in a way I can see and understand my next step. In Jesus' name, amen. Now close your eyes for a moment and just be still. Keep your mind focused on the conversation you just had with God. A conversation needs to be two-way. You talk, and then you stop talking, and you listen and let God talk. So I'm going to be quiet, and we're just going to spend a moment just listening to see if the Father has anything he wants to reveal to you. Hearing God is not as difficult as you may think. Most of the time, you're hearing God and it sounds like your own voice or your own thoughts.
But one of the ways you can know that it's God speaking to you and it's not just your thoughts is it comes in a first person type voice. For example, when I was still, within the first 15 seconds, here's the thought that came to my head, and I had no reason to think it myself. Here's the thought, and I know it was from God. Here's what the Lord said to me. He said, "Thank you, Gary." That's it. I heard from God. So I'm thankful. He said, "Thank you, Gary, for doing this tonight. Thank you." So thank you. So you have probably heard God and maybe not recognize it. So you need to spend time. I recommend in the morning, before you start reading your Bible, before you start praying, just be still and say, "Father, is there anything you'd like to say first?" And be still. A thought may come to your mind. He may direct you to a scripture. He may direct you to do something. And then if you're not sure it's the Lord or not, I mean, God is so patient with us, so kind. He's wanting you to learn. He knows you're learning. So don't be hard on yourself. If you think something's of God, but you're not quite sure, ask Him again. Say, "Father, was that you or was that just something else?" And God, most of the time, will confirm His will for you because He loves you. Amen? He loves you. Finding God's will for your life is the most important thing you will ever do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, which you have in Jesus, and all these other things will be added to you. Thank you, Father, for your word. The process has begun. We're looking and excited about finding our next step in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Come up and find David.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.